Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, with laundry room designs meant to bring calm to everyday routines. More at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Filmmaking allows for world building that most mediums don't achieve. Through a literal and figurative lens, viewers see situations created to put them somewhere from an artistic point of view. And stories told on screen, especially the ones that make us think, "But that would never happen," are often the ones inspired by the real lived experiences of writers and directors behind the camera. That's what we find in Ride or Die from Jocelyn Smith. Born and raised in St. Louis, Smith is a film writer, director, and cinematographer who now lives in Los Angeles and works in the film industry. Her directorial debut is part thriller, part love story. It's also a glimpse into her personal experiences with relationships and dreams of making it in L.A. Ride or Die will be screened at the Cinema St. Louis Filmmaker Showcase this Friday, July 18th. And Jocelyn joins us today all the way from L.A. Jocelyn, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, Jocelyn, we're going to talk through your film without giving too much away. So to start us off, give us a quick and sort of general description of what Ride or Die is about and who its central characters are.
Sure. So Ride or Die tells the story of Paul and Sloan. They were two former classmates and they have a reunion, you know, sort of in that post-college, like, what am I doing here, when Paula has come back home from the East Coast and Sloan has stayed in St. Louis. And, you know, they were kind of on different levels. Like, Sloan is someone who's, like, you know, my peaked in high school, and Paula is, like, you know, kind of come into herself a little bit more. And so they actually can have, like, almost an equal, like, attraction to each other upon this return. And they have a lot of, like, you know, parallel situations at home that are illustrated in the film, and that kind of also brings them closer together. So they, you know, kind of spontaneously go on a road trip. But a lot of the tension rises from Paula is Black and Sloan is white, and Sloan gets them into a lot of, you know, issues on the road trip, but also because of her whiteness is able to, you know, kind of magically pull them from certain perils, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So
I have to ask then, was there something or someone that inspired you to write Ride or Die, and how long ago did you begin this project?
So when I was in film school, I made like a short sort of like proof of concept sort of this idea. And I think it's inspired by a lot of experiences that I've had this dynamic. But I think what's something that's interesting as well is that there's often times, like, you know, with first features, I think for a lot of filmmakers, it's like, oh, the, you know, they're so personal, they're about personal experience, or they're like about childhood or something like that. And I think oftentimes filmmakers, especially women, people of color, queer people, are often, like, you know, already being told, you know, you don't, what gives you the right to tell a story? So it's like, by virtue of making it like personal, you can be like, well, I'm actually the only one who can tell this story because like XYZ. So it's sort of like an interesting thing actually to me, like what comes first, the chicken or the egg?
Right.
Like,
we get, I think, both chickens and eggs in this particular feature that you've put together. Did you feel any sort of pressure to make it more personal than maybe you wanted to?
I think what's really interesting, like, you know, I have a tendency in some ways to like Nick Carraway myself.
Oh, okay.
And so what was really amazing, like when I felt like the movie was going to be made, I wanted the script to be as great as it could be. So I brought on Alicia Luzon Heisler as my co-writer, and we both went to undergrad together. And she's the best writer I know, but she was able to get the me part into the story. And that, like, the part of myself that, you know, I avoid, it kind of, she always, like, she shaped that and helped me encourage that to be more a part of the story than just, like, you know, a look at, like, this girl Sloan. So I think that was super important in how the story came together. Yeah.
And to your point about Nick Carraway, that is a fictional character, and the narrator of The Great Gatsby, which is, you know, F. Scott Fitzgerald's 1925 novel. Tell me a little bit more about that part.
Oh, well, it's just like, you know, the thing of Nick Carraway, he's like in this situation. He's like, I'm going to tell you about all these crazy people, but he is the narrator, and he is like what the audience latches onto, but he's not really the protagonist of the story he's telling.
Right.
And so I think, like, sometimes I think, like, when things get, like, close to home or, like, with this story, it's, like, I think, like, my instinct is to, like, let me just show you everyone else but myself. But I think that was so important, what Alicia and I could, once we start working together, could, like, bring out of the character Paula. So I'm super pleased.
It's an intentional kind of lens, too, interestingly. As you were growing up and watching, you know, films, were there particular genres that you were thinking about or that you were influenced by as you were writing and thinking about the visual experience that you wanted to deliver with Ride or Die?
I mean, one of the key influences for Ride or Die is Greg Araki's The Living End. That was his first feature. And it has a similar story and a similar grit to it, that I think Ride or Die does. And it was like kind of like a quintessential like 90s queercore cinema moment. And he would go on to do, like, you know, The Doom Generation and Mysterious Skin. And I love all those films, but I think we're 30 years apart twin, from The Living End in some ways. So I was super influenced by that, and I was also, like, reading scripts like, you know, Terrence Malick's, like, Batlands. That script is incredibly sparse, though, unlike mine. My script was, like, about, like, 98 pages. That script's, like, 70, because there's not a lot of speaking in that film, but it's so vast and beautiful, and I was definitely influenced by that as well. I think when it came to, like, the racial dynamics, I loved, like, a film like The Watermelon Woman. And I have, like, a bit of an homage to it in my film. But I think, like, also that examination, like, 90s interracial relationships. I don't know. The 90s really speaks to me in general. But I think that style of filmmaking, where people didn't have a lot, and I didn't have a lot to make the film, but still, like, made a film. It's cool, yeah.
When it comes to what is speaking rather than who is speaking, much of your film is shot here in St. Louis. What was it like to shoot such a personal film in your hometown? You know, where you went to high school, there's that famous question of where'd you go to high school, but also I believe your undergrad time. So what was it like to, as a young adult, shoot this in STL?
Yeah, I mean, when I was, it's interesting because I went to film school at Columbia University, and it's really interesting because it's a super, actually, international program. And something that I noticed, it's like everyone had this thing of like, I'm going back home to make my film. So I, I made my first two in New York, like shorts, like the exercises or whatever. And then, I start the next two I made in St. Louis because, like, I gotta go back to, I guess I also go back home as well. Mm-hmm. And I think there's, like, something, I think that, like, St. Louis has always been incredibly, like, cinematic to me. And as, like, a creative kid, like, looking out the car window, like, playing sad music and, seeing, like, the different, landscapes from, like, urban to rural has always been like, this is incredible, and kind of nothing looks like this. To me, not a lot of places look like St. Louis. It has a really distinct architectural look, and then there's also so much nature around as well. So I always found that it was incredibly cinematic, and I think it was good to just, we thought about making the film in LA, New Mexico, all these places, but both a financial, but like also like the idea, it's like, why not just start the story where the story starts and just do the journey, which we did, which was crazy.
And having lived in LA, I can definitely attest to it's being, the setting of St. Louis has a very different feel from, I think, what might have been achieved in Southern California. Now, to get to the film itself, you did describe Paula and Sloan, who are the main characters of Ride or Die. They're two former high school classmates. Paula's back in St. Louis. She's finished film school and then runs into Sloan at a thrift store where Sloan is working. And they're hanging out, they're catching up, they flirt a little at Paula's mom's and stepdad's home. And that's where we get an idea about Paula's and Sloan's personalities, their lived experience, and their dreams.
What kind of movies are you gonna make when you go to Hollywood? I bet it's like highbrow.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No?
No. I mean, sometimes I think I wanna make documentaries, but I don't know. Most of the stuff I like is...
What?
It's love stories. It's
love stories. Okay.
I cry every time at Titanic.
No, that's the most adorable thing I've ever heard.
It's embarrassing.
No, it's not. When I was a kid, my mom wanted me to be in movies.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was this guy at the mall, and he was like, oh my God, she's so pretty. She could, like, be in commercials or whatever. And, like, convince my mom to take all these headshots. nothing ever happened. It was a total scam. Yeah. Probably just all the kids' photos.
Yeah, probably.
I bet you would have been great, though.
Loved one.
No, I mean, I can really picture it. You have this thing about you.
Jocelyn, what is it about this interaction that is important to understanding, what is going to come in the rest of the film?
Yeah, I think that, they've created, this is the moment where they create the fantasy of the film, that we're going to go off to Hollywood and I'm going to, be in kind of like being your movies. You're going to like be a director, and they kind of are feeding, they're feeding off love and they're feeding off a fantasy. And that's sort of like a thing that's sort of like kind of hooks both, and it's sort of like they both need each other in some ways. It's like they both have this thing actually happening where it's like, you know, Paul is putting Sloan on this pedestal, and she needs, and she likes that she's being put on a pedestal, and Sloan makes Paula feel like the person that she wishes she was, kind of like in high school. And it's sort of like, you know, they're kind of doing, providing something for one another in this instance. But then it kind of will relate to, like, there's a lot of, as the film continues on, like, as they're on the road, there's, you know, first person camera where mostly Paula is filming Sloan and kind of creating like a fantasy of this girl. Mm-hmm.
And that's actually a great place for us to take a very quick break. But when we're going to come back, we will continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
This is St. Louis Public Radio. Support comes from Parrot Corporation, a contractor with over four decades of shaping the St. Louis landscape. More at parrot.com.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Jocelyn Smith, who is a native St. Louisan who works as a film writer, director, and cinematographer in Los Angeles, and the director of the film Ride or Die. Jocelyn, as you're looking ahead to this screening, what is it that you're thinking and feeling about its showing in your hometown?
Oh, that's really interesting. I think I'm like, so when it premiered last month at Tribeca, I was like, just like nervous about like, is the DCP perfect? Mm-hmm. but now, digital cinema package, but now it's sort of like, I'm nervous for everyone to see it because it feels, I think one, because it, I don't know, something feels a bit more exposed, than it did in New York, and two, I think that, I'm wondering, like, a lot of times, like, you know, when things, you kind of have a different experience of things when you know the places, and, like, so I wonder, mm-hmm. just, like, how that will feel. Or especially places that double for other places, just like, is that something that audiences will even notice, or will they just be too wrapped up in the story to even notice
right.
that we're calling Colorado someplace in St. Louis?
And we actually have Emmett Williams, who's the director of festival curation and education at Cinema St. Louis here. It's great to have you back. What is it about this film that really exemplifies the theme of Show Me?
Well, I think the sort of the brilliance of the film and the writing is the tension that Jocelyn and her co-writer are able to create. Like, it's really difficult to get that sort of like feeling between two people, and you know there's it's really subtle, but it's also so it's like fierce, mm-hmm. and it like carries through the whole film. And so I think that's the thing that. I think is really difficult to do in film and rarely gets done well, and Ride or Die definitely does that.
Mm-hmm. We have just a couple minutes left. Emmett, is there anything else that we should be looking forward to about the festival this year?
Well, there are 78 films and they're all my babies. So I always, you know, want to, it's hard to like pinpoint one out, but I will say that there is a really wide range of films, diversity of age, of community, and, you know, Show Me is also about, you know, building community. So we're going to have organizations like the Freedom Center that helped during the storm recovery. Mm-hmm. You can able to support them at every different screening also. Mm-hmm. And the films, it's just about, you know, just really St. Louis has so many great filmmakers, mm-hmm. and so just everybody should come out and support them also.
And if you could just pick one that people should come out to see, what would that be?
Oh, I'm going to start with Ride or Die, our opening night film.
Sure.
Our opening night film, we have a little opening night reception, free food and drink from Parker's Table and supported by St. Louis Film Office before. So come out, Jocelyn will be there. Mm. Also, all of the filmmakers will be there opening night. So it's a really great time for the film community to meet the St. Louis community.
Mm-hmm. And is there anything people should come prepared with?
They should have a QR code ready to donate to the organizations, and they should just come and watch great movies. There's 78 films over the 2 weekends.
Mm-hmm. Emmett Williams is director of festival curation and education at Cinema St. Louis, and Jocelyn Smith is St. Louis-born director of Ride or Die. Jocelyn and Emmett, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The St. Louis Filmmaker Showcase takes place over 2 weekends at the High Point Theater starting Friday, July 18th and ending on Sunday, July 27th. Visit cinemastlouis.org for ticket information and for more details.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.